God's grace, God's mercy, and God's kind of peace rest deep, deep in your hearts, in your minds, this day and always, because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the text, those words from St. Paul to the young pastor Timothy. Blueberries are in season right now. Big, plump, ripe, locally grown blueberries, a thing of wonder. And at least in Delaware, peaches are starting to come into season as well. A wondrous time. When things are in season, people's attention is drawn to them. And of course, when things are not in season, people's attention is drawn elsewhere. You think about the blueberries you see right now for sale and compare them with the ones that are on sale in January in the supermarket. And those berries were grown and picked far away from here, and they have all of the appearance of having been on the road for a very long time. They are small, they are shriveled, the kind of thing you would only buy in desperation. You see, there's a great difference about things being in season and out of season. Chuck and Sharon, you and I grew up in a time when institutional Christianity in America was in season. We grew up in a time when church buildings like this one were filled on Sunday morning. And I think I remember Steve telling me that there were a couple of hundred students in the school here when he was perhaps a little bit younger than he is now. And probably the biggest problem that you had at Emmanuel on Sunday morning was finding a place to park, because this was a happening place. And it was like this all over Baltimore and all over America. I grew up on Long Island, New York, in a town called Huntington. And in that Lutheran church as well, it was filled on Sunday morning. People wanted to be there because it was in season. And I can still remember the great scandal that was caused when the 7-Eleven came to town. Because the 7-Eleven dared to be open on Sunday morning. Nothing else in those days was open on Sunday morning. All society was quiet because it was assumed that you were in church somewhere, as of course you should be. And of course there was that faithful Sunday after service when the Schaefers had to stop at the 7-Eleven. I walked in with my mother and then watched her as, along with all the other Lutherans, she walked around there with her head held down, picking up the bread and the milk she had forgotten to get on Saturday. That's when Christianity was in season. Today, for most Americans, Christianity, institutionally speaking, is out of season. Close to 80% of the American population is no longer aligned with any membership in any Christian church in America. Which means, by virtue of your being here this morning, you are in a distinct minority. There are lots of reasons why people walked away from the church, but I suppose the bottom line is that simply they didn't find the church relevant anymore. They didn't believe that its message was speaking to what they thought their inspirational needs were. What that means is, like churches like this one and pastors like Pastor Minitry are facing challenges we've not faced since the time of Constantine 1700 years ago. And all of the assumptions that have predictably worked across preceding generations of building buildings and people will come are suddenly no longer valid. But these words that we just read from St. Paul to that young pastor Timothy in the first century still apply to us. They were read at Chuck's ordination and at mine and at most pastors, as I believe. And those words from Paul saying, preach the gospel urgently, in season and out of season. We find ourselves then having to adapt to a whole new way of thinking in our society. While we have to find the balance between not compromising the integrity of the gospel itself, over against having to find new ways of engaging the society that walks and drives and lives around this building. The truth is that people are not drawn to buildings and organ music anymore. As beautiful as this is, you are so blessed. These are the things that inspire people of my generation. But to people out there, they will only come here if they have a relationship with you. If in your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, they see Jesus alive in you, they see you working at the hard business of living out faith that you say you believe. Not easy being a Christian. It's not supposed to be. It's a journey of discovery and of trust. And when you're willing to live that out in the way, in the society in which you live, that's what catches people's hearts. And that's what might draw them back to the gospel hope. Chuck, you and Sharon have been at ministry faithfully for 30 years, which is a long time. And you've done it not because it's easy and not because you're masochists. You have done it because, well, just like all of the prophets and pastors and disciples before you, your heart was caught by the gospel imperative. You do not choose ministry. God chooses you. And when God chooses you, all you can do is, as best as possible, be faithful in following, and you have done that. If you want to translate 30 years of ministry into kind of everyday terms, it's probably close to 2,000 sermons preached. I know to those listening it seems like a lot more. Probably a couple of hundred baptisms, weddings, funerals, confirmations, all places where you had a moment in which to preach the gospel urgently. And you've been at this ministry in this building for, they tell me, 12 years or close to it. And if the walls of this building could speak today, they would remind you of things that you said or did along the way. Things that left a mark of hopefulness on somebody's heart. Things that you probably didn't think were any big deal. Things that you've probably long ago forgotten, but things that still echo in this place. We thank you for your faithfulness. It's an inspiring thing to celebrate this kind of anniversary. But my guess is, like others in ministry, you've probably spent a fair amount of time staring at the bedroom ceiling in the dark of a 3 o'clock morning, wondering why things are the way they are. And even more, how in the world do we begin to translate Christ's love to a society that doesn't understand it in that way anymore? Other words of St. Paul, he wrote a lot, of course, half the New Testament, but in 1 Corinthians 14:10, Paul writes, there are so many voices in the world, and none of them is without meaning. If that was true in the first century, how much more so is that true today? The hundreds and maybe thousands of people that walk by or drive by this building all week long are not caught by the beauty of its architecture or by the curiosity to see who or what is inside. Their attention, instead, is drawn to the smartphone in their hand. Because through social media and elsewhere, there is no shortage of voices in the world. They're in there incessantly, providing information, providing opinion, providing thought, providing lies. All the stuff is out there all day long. Even to the point where when we sit with other people at dinner time, the smartphone is not really out of our sight. How then do we begin to add another voice to the conversation? How do we begin to add the only voice that ultimately makes a difference and matters, which is the voice of God's love in Christ Jesus? How do we make that real so somebody can hear it? This could be a time in which we are despairing, but it ought not to be. Because the truth is, we find our hopefulness and our courage and our grace in the same place that all the Christians in the past 20 centuries have found it, in the gospel itself. In the distracted lives that people around this building are now living, there is still a hole in the heart. People are still trying to find answers to questions that you cannot find an answer to on the internet. Questions like, where did I come from? Why am I here? What's the purpose for life? What happens when I die? The gospel of Jesus Christ has answers for all of those questions and a whole lot more. When we stand and confess those words of the creed, what we are saying and proclaiming loudly and boldly is, we believe that there is a God and a God who cares. And that each one of us was not made as a cosmic whim or accident, but on purpose and gifted accordingly. We believe that this God loves us with a love that is so deep and so mysterious and so profound it takes your breath away. We believe that this love of this God became so real and so profoundly manifested on the cross of Jesus Christ, and that because of his willingness to die the death that should have been ours, the door to God's heart is open for all who are willing to accept the love that is offered there. We believe that our purpose for living is to serve others, that the reason God has given us a moment of time and individually appointed gifts is so that we may live out our life with a compassionate hope and mercy, showing and living out the love of God to a world around us. And we believe that when our journey through this labyrinth of voices is finally over, that because of Christ Jesus, we will be in a place where there are no tears, where there is no pain. This is a message that never goes out of season. Because this is a message that speaks to the central core of a human heart. And when it finds its place in that heart, then the whole is replaced by a sense of courage and grace and hope enough to get through. And when you and I are reminded each week in worship of this love that God holds for us, that's the place where we find our grace and our courage enough to live it out and to preach the gospel at all times. One of my favorite authors is Frederick Buechner. And about vocation, he writes, "The place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Chuck and Sharon, may the incredible gospel of Jesus Christ continue to provide deep gladness to your hearts and minds as you continue on in the journey that you were called to. And may through your words and actions, many who are hungering deeply in a broken and hurting world realize and understand, perhaps for the first time, the God who loves them and the God who wants them near. Preach it, live it, in season, out of season. Let the people of God say, Amen.